الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. اللهم صل على محمد. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The discussion concerning asbab al-nuzul, or the reasons for revelation of a Qur'anic verse, is arguably one of the most fascinating discussions amongst the Qur'anic sciences. And without a doubt is a discussion that is very much underestimated and undervalued within our communities today. A discussion from which many fantastic lessons may be learned, and many important examples may be derived, easily applicable into our lives today. How many times have you read a verse of the Qur'an and wondered on what occasion was that particular verse revealed? How many times have you looked at a verse in the Qur'an and wondered who the verse was addressing in Mecca at the time? How many times have you looked at a verse in the Qur'an and have asked yourself, who's the one who's asking the question to the Prophet and what was the context of that verse? The discussion concerning Asbab al-Nuzul is a discussion that focuses on the reasons behind the revelation of a verse of the Holy Qur'an. Because there are many times when we read a verse of the Holy Qur'an where we don't ponder as to who the verse is discussing. And indeed, when you look at the wording of the verse, the wording indicates that something without a doubt had taken place. As in, if you were to look at many of the verses in the Holy Qur'an, without a doubt, there is an occasion for the revelation of that verse. But the problem is, many people, when they read the Qur'an, they read the Qur'an without asking the question, for what reason was that verse revealed in the way it was revealed? And this brings about a disconnect between them and the Holy Qur'an. If today I gave you an Arabic book, and I said to you, please read the whole book, from the front to the back, from the back to the front, when you read it, every single verse you'll come across, you'll turn around to me and say, what was the reason this verse speaks in this way? Okay? You find, for example, if you were to take chapter 9, verse 49, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ اذن لي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي. And from them is the one who says, excuse me, don't trial me. If you were to ask many Muslims, when they've read this verse, did they ever ponder, who's the man who's saying, excuse me, don't trial me? Many Muslims will turn around to you and say, listen, all I've been told is try and read the Quran from the front to the back and you'll be rewarded. But the Quran then doesn't become a book of guidance. In the holy month of Ramadan, we say about the Quran that it's hudan lilnasi wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan, that it's a guidance for mankind which separates truth and falsehood. If I come across an ayah of the Quran and that ayah of the Quran states that someone saying to the Prophet, I beg you, excuse me, don't trial me, the first thing I should really do is go back and look for the reason why this verse was revealed. Let me give you another example. If an ayah says, وَإِذَا سَرُّ النَّبِيِّ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِ حَدِيثًا, the Prophet told one of his wives a secret. When I read this verse, I could easily just flow over the verse, or I could stop there and say, hold on a minute. The Prophet tells his wife a secret. What's the secret? And which wife? And why the need to be secretive? The point about the science of Asbab al-Nuzul is what? The science of Asbab al-Nuzul is that you return and ask the question that why is every verse in the Quran revealed and for what context? We know the Quran is not a book in chronological order. If the Quran was a book in chronological order, the first surah should be Surah Alaq, correct? But what's the first surah in the Quran? Fatiha. What's the second surah? Al-Baqarah. The second surah should be Qalam. The third surah should be Muzzammil. The fourth should be Muddathir. The fifth should be Fatiha. When the Quran is not a book in chronological order, then I have to be the one who ponders about the verses. Why? If the Quran was in chronological order, then I'll know the first surahs are all Mecca and the second are all Medina, because Rasulullah lived at the beginning in Mecca, then he went to Medina. But we know Surah Al-Fatiha is Meccan, Baqarah is Medinian, Al-Imran is Medinian, Nisa is Medinian, Ma'idah is Medinian. When I'm now seeing that the Quran itself isn't chronological, I therefore have to look at these verses so that I'm able to understand the flow and the development of the Quran in a stage-by-stage manner. Therefore, this science of Asbab al-Nuzul is a science very much underestimated in our communities. Many times people come to me in our communities and they say that, you know, I read this lovely verse in the Quran. Why was this verse revealed? That question is the most important question in any study of the Quran. And the problem is many of the followers of Al-Muhammad never ask that question. Why? Because many of us have been taught, read the Quran like a parrot, haven't we? Just read. Every Thursday, read Yasin. Why I'm reading, what I'm reading about, I'm not sure. But I've just been told to read. The science of Asbab al-Nuzul, the science of the causes of revelation, is when I have the Quran on one side of the table, and I have this book with the science of the causes of revelation on the other. I look at the Quran, I see an interesting verse. إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ Safa and Marwa from the signs of Allah. What do I do? I know the Quran is not explaining with a tafsir by the side. So I go to the book of Asbab al-Nuzul and I look for the meaning of why this verse was revealed. In my opinion, the best works which were written in the last 30, 40 years on Asbab al-Nuzul have been written by Western academics. If you come to the school of Ahlul Bayt today, I ask anyone to show me a work where every ayah of the Quran has the story of its revelation next to it. If I were to ask you in Urdu or in Persian or in Arabic to show me a book where you pick any ayah of the Quran and next to it the story of the revelation, I guarantee you there's not much at all. Andrew Rippin, in his seminal article from SOAS, has one of the best analysis of the history and development of Asbab al-Nuzul. I recommend all of you tonight, when you get back, if you want to study this topic further, for as you know, this topic is part of my topic which I began in Africa, night one of Shahar Ramadan, you find that Andrew Rippin has written a fantastic article. How did the science of the reasons of revelation come about? How do you find information about the reasons of revelation? But it's a shame that in our school, you look around, you find that a school that was built on the pen of Ja'far bin Muhammad is a school that has no more pens at the moment. Therefore, tonight, let's examine the history of Asbab al-Nuzul and seek to understand this beautiful area which builds a completely new transformation with the Quran. Number one, why do I need to study the science of the reason of revelation? And what are the three main reasons given? Number two, what's the difference between Sha'n al-Nuzul and Sabab al-Nuzul? And how does it relate to understanding the Quran? Number three, how important are Wahidi and Suyuti when it comes to the area of Asbab al-Nuzul? Number four, can a person's theology affect which narration they put next to an ayah of the Quran? And how have the likes of Abu Talib been affected because of people's theology in this area? Number five, which verses were revealed about Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen according to Ahlus Sunnah wa Tashayyu' within the science of the revelation? And how did each of these verses show his position? And which verse did Muawiyah change the reason of revelation for, so that it praised Ibn Muljam and his act on the night of the 19th? Let's examine this and seek to dissect the topic in complete depth. Someone asked the question that what's the need for me to study Asbab al-Nuzul? The first reason you need to study Asbab al-Nuzul is a vague Quran becomes a living Quran. What do I mean? How many times have you looked across the Quran and thought to yourself, this isn't too interesting, to tell you the truth? There are many Muslims who, even though they will not admit it, deep down inside, when they're reading the Quran, will say, this really doesn't tickle my fancy. As in, I'm reading it and I know my parents have told me that this is meant to be the holiest book. And we put it at home so anyone religious who comes home thinks that we read it. But when we really look at the Quran, there isn't really much of interest. Why? Naturally, if you're going to read any book where you don't know why a verse is speaking in the way it speaks, then without a doubt, not knowing the context doesn't make the book interesting. Rashid Rada used to say, the Quranic verses are transformative. They should reverberate with your soul. If they don't, there's a problem between you and the Quran. There are many who, when they read the Quran, they feel that, you know what, I wish this was written in another language, because I'm not understanding what this is saying. It doesn't relate to me at all. Hence, you find in the car, most people prefer to play music than Quran. Why? Because the musician's lyrics, they know why they're saying it in that way. What's the reason? What's the context? Whereas when it comes to the Quran, you're thinking this is a 1,400-year-old book. The first reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to search for Asbab al-Nuzul is that the Quran becomes alive in our life. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a very vague verse in the Quran. If I was reading Surah Al-Baqarah tomorrow morning, yes? Sunday morning, I'm reading Surah Al-Baqarah. I thought it's the holy month of Ramadan. Let me try and read the verses. I come to Surah 2, verse 115, verse 115 of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرَقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Yes? To Allah belongs the east, yes, and the west. Whichever way you turn, you see his countenance. When I read this verse on a Sunday morning, I'm already tired from Saturday night. I'm reading this verse and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I continue reading. If I stop for a moment, instead of reading 1,000 verses, stop to ponder on one. I go to Asbab al-Nuzul. I read the Asbab al-Nuzul of this verse. It's fascinating. That what happened was, when the Qibla was changed from Bayt al-Maqdis towards the Kaaba, when the Qibla was changed, what happened? As soon as the Qibla was changed, the Jews of Medina mocked the Muslims. Why? The Jews of Medina looked towards the Muslims. They said, you Muslims, your past prayers are void and your future prayers are void. When the Muslims turned around and they said, why? The Jews replied by saying that your past prayers faced Bayt al-Maqdis, and now that you've changed the Kaaba, your past prayers have gone and this Kaaba will be of no avail to you at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied with an ayah that as soon as you people attack our Muslims by saying that you can't change the Qibla from Bayt al-Maqdis to the Kaaba, I'll reply to you by saying, wherever you turn, be it the east or the west, you'll always find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Correct? Why? Because to the east of Medina is the Kaaba. To the west of Medina is Bayt al-Maqdis. Correct or no? If you look at Medina on a map, to the east of Medina, what is it? It's the Kaaba. And to the left, or to the west of Medina, it's Bayt al-Maqdis. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ فَأَيْنَمَا تَوَلُّوا. What happens? فَأَيْنَمَا تَوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, you'll see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? The face of His glory. You'll see His sustenance. That ayah, if I just read it on a Sunday morning, just read across it without pondering, that ayah doesn't really seem like anything important. The moment I go to the sabab, sabab means what? Reason, cause. I think it's the same in other languages as well. When I go to the sabab, straight away I find the sabab. Let me give you another example. Surah 2, verse 158. I've continued on a Sunday morning, I'm reading Surah Al-Baqarah. I've come to Surah 2, verse 158, and I read the verse. Inna safa wal marwata min sha'air Allah. Yes? Faman hajj al-bayta. Yes? The ones who come and perform the hajj, or the ones who perform umrah. Yes, there is no harm on them going towards the Safa and Marwa, and no blame will be attached on them. When it said that there will be no blame attached to them if they perform Safa and Marwa, someone looks at this ayah and thinks to himself, hold on a minute. There's no blame attached to them if they go Safa and Marwa. I thought Safa and Marwa is wajib when I go. Listen, if I go to Umrah or I go to Hajj, isn't Safa and Marwa wajib? Why does the Quran say, but there is no blame attached to them if they went? Look at this ayah. It seems boring. It seems like there's nothing of value to it. That Safa and Marwa are the signs of Allah. Whoever does Hajj or Umrah, there's no blame on them if they go to Safa and Marwa. When you look at Sabab al-Nuzul, what do you find? You find that this verse relates to what? This verse relates to the fact that after the Hudaybiyah treaty, in the treaty, the Holy Prophet had said, allow us to come back and do Umrah the following year. When the Muslims came back to do Umrah, the Quraysh said, listen, you know what we'll do? The idols on the Kaaba and the idols on Safa and Marwa, we'll remove those idols. Yes? And you guys can do Umrah for a few days. But when you finish, we put the idols back. The Muslims done their Umrah. But when they go to Safa and Marwa, the idols were still where? They were still on the mountain. Some of the Muslims thought to themselves, well, maybe that means that we can't do Safa and Marwa because there are idols on the mountain. So the Quran said, listen, Safa and Marwa are from the signs of Allah. Yes? Whoever does Hajj or Umrah, don't worry, there's no blame on them if they go to them. The ayah therefore becomes alive. That's when I look at this ayah, all of a sudden the Quran isn't just a vague book of Arabic which where my I have oscillating tongue movements. Suddenly, Mecca becomes part of my life. Suddenly, Medina becomes part of my life. Many of the great Quranic scholars, what do they always used to say? Imagine the Quran was left with you today. Rasulullah died yesterday. How would you relate to that book? I don't want someone to come and tell me this is a 1,400-year-old book. I want this book to be alive. Therefore, the first reason that a person studies Sabab al-Nuzul is so that the Quranic verses don't just sound like Arabic literature, but they become alive. Let me give you another ayah. وَلَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا تَحَصُّنًا. Do not compel your daughters into acts of indecency. I read this ayah, I'm like, what does it mean, do not compel your daughters into acts of indecency? When I look for Sabab al-Nuzul, what do I find? In Arabia, they used to have brothels, yes? Prostitution was high. Abdullah bin Ubay used to have many girls in one building. There'd be a red flag outside the building. Anyone who wants can come and enter and pay and leave. You found that the Quran, when I come across this ayah, if I just read the Arabic, then it sounds boring. I'm too concerned with the makhraj. And the problem in the school of Ahlul Bayt is there's too many concerned with their makhraj and not concerned with pondering. Yes? You found that the ayah said what? Don't force your daughters into acts of indecency. It was speaking to the brothel owners at the time that you force these innocent girls into the brothels. Why are you doing this? Let these girls have a life. You know how some people say the Quran is a book which is 1,400 years old, it doesn't relate to today? Subhanallah, how that ayah relates to today in the world, doesn't it? How many of these places do you see in the world today? Whereas the Quran had already discussed this. In other words, the first reason we look at this is what? The first reason is so that I am able to see the reasons behind the revelation of an ayah. The second reason is so that if my non-Muslim friend looks at an ayah in the Quran and they look at it and say, excuse me, what was that ayah revealed about? If I don't know, then I'm in major trouble when it comes to my ego. Yes? Because all of us, when we walk around, we all think that all of us know the Quran and all of us know Ahlul Bayt. If a non-Muslim comes to me and says to me, you know, I was reading the Quran and you said to me, it's a book of peace. So we reply, yes, it's a book of peace. Chapter 9, verse 5. So what do you mean? So read chapter 9 verse 5. When you read chapter 9 verse 5, it says, when the holy months have passed, kill the disbelievers wherever you see them. Wow, what a book of peace, mashallah. Yes? What a great book of peace the Quran is. Because you find many of the Muslims who say the Quran is a book of peace haven't even read the Quran. Yes? Many of them will say, oh, but Islam means peace, Quran means peace, and everyone's in peace. La habibi, this is peace. Doesn't mean we're going to build a just society. If we're all peaceful with each other, As Voltaire used to say, diplomacy is when two people lie to each other. Yes, there are times when a person has to be clear. You find that if someone brings an ayah of the Quran, an ayah of the Quran says, when the holy months have passed, kill the disbelievers wherever you see them. My neighbor in London comes to me, says, excuse me, Ammar. I'm like, yes. Said, you know, your Quran is peaceful. I'm like, yes, mashallah, it's very peaceful. He's like, well, Surah 9 verse 5 doesn't sound too peaceful. فَإِذَا سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحَرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ. That doesn't sound, that sounds like someone who wants to kill everyone. The second reason I search for the reasons of revelation is so that just in case someone tries to gazump me with an ayah of the Quran, I can turn around and say, no, hold on. If now America signed a treaty with another country, yes, and that country mercilessly went and massacred American soldiers, having signed the treaty, shouldn't America take forceful vengeance against these people? The person will say yes. Likewise, this ayah was revealed about Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah, there was a treaty that the Quraysh and the Muslims will look after each other. But what happened? The Quraysh went behind the back of the Muslims and they massacred a group of the Muslims in Mecca. Therefore, when I have knowledge of the reason of a revelation of an ayah, I don't look at a non-Muslim and say, you know what, I'll get back to you, I'll go to Mawlana, I'll come to Mawlana, and I'll go to another Mawlana. No! Each of you is his own Mawlana when it comes to the Quran. Each of you should be able to look at the reasons of the revelation within the Quran. On the third level, the beauty of studying the reason of revelation is what? I can then look at what issues face the Muslim community then and how they face us today. Correct or no? Because sometimes, you know, there are certain Muslims, they'll turn around and say to you, you know, we have it so hard. It's so difficult being religious here. And it's so difficult for us to be of those people who can hold on to our faith. And also, you know what? We can't unite with our brothers in Islam. We are Shia. We shall remain Shia. We have no unity. No, we look back at the Quran. If I read a verse like Surah 3, verse 103, it says, hold on to the rope of Allah and do not disunite. How many of you have read this ayah, correct? Hold on to the rope of Allah and do not disunite. Do you know, interestingly, who caused the disunity between these Muslims, why this ayah was revealed? The Jews caused disunity between the Muslims in those early days in Islam. Yes? If I hadn't read the reason of this revelation, then it sounds like a normal verse. Hold on to the rope of Allah and don't disunite. But when I realized in Medina, the Jews started to make the Aus and the Khazraj fight each other. Yes? And the Aus started claiming they had great companions. And the Khazraj claimed they had great companions. Then suddenly there was disunity within the Ummah. Rasulullah said, don't let others come and divide and conquer. Correct? Don't let people come from outside and say, you are this Muslim or you are that Muslim. All of you are under the banner of La ilaha illallah. Each and every one of you is under this banner. Therefore, these reasons were normally given. The question arises, what's the difference between Sabab in Nuzul and Sha'n in Nuzul? Because sometimes you'll have certain people who say that this is the Sha'n in Nuzul. And some will say this is the Sabab in Nuzul. Sha'n in Nuzul is known as the occasion of the revelation. Sabab in Nuzul is known as the reason of the revelation. Someone says, is there much difference? Yes, there is. Sha'n in Nuzul normally relates to what? It normally relates to an occasion that has come before Islam, but is mentioned in the Quran. What do I mean? If someone tells you, what's the sha'n al-nuzul of Surah Al-Fil? Yes? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ Ashab al-Fil, the incident of Abraha with Ashab al-Fil, did it take place in the time of Islam or before? Before, so Sha'n al-Nuzul will talk about Musa's story, talk about Isa's story, the reason of the revelation of Nuh's story. That's what Sha'n al-Nuzul is concerned with. Sabab al-Nuzul, however, is concerned with the events that took place in the life of the Prophet. Which events took place in Mecca? Which ones took place in Medina? How they came about? And the top writers on this, many of them came from Ahlus Sunnah. In which way? If you look at Ahlus Sunnah, they have a number of the most famous scholars who wrote on this area. The first to write a book on this area, although the book is now extinct, was Al-Madani, the Sheikh of Bukhari. He had written a book by the name of Kitab al-Tanzil. But that book is not there. Of the book that exists, of the oldest book in this area, where what you do is you could literally buy it from Amazon tonight. You buy it from Amazon, You open a surah of the Quran, you open a verse, and you look at the story behind the verse, yes? The oldest is Wahidi's famous work, Asbab al-Nuzul. That's available until today. That's a work from the 5th century. So that work is quite an old work from over 1,000 years back. But that one, what does it do? You open Surah Al-Baqarah. And subhanAllah, the beauty of the internet today means what? You can literally go on a website like altafsir.com. It's one of the best websites I have ever seen on the internet. And whoever has done this website, I have to give them credit. Why? You know how they've done this website? Surah, and you scroll down. So Surah 1, for example, or Surah, let's say you say Surah 7. Then you go to what? Tafsir. You know what comes down? Tafsir of Ahlul Sunnah, Tafsir of Shia, Tafsir of Sufis, Tafsir of the Salafis. Yes, each one of them. Then you go to the ayah, you press show, and straight away it tells you why this verse was revealed. It's a beautiful system. Altafsir.com, amongst the people it chooses, Wahidi's Asbab al-Nuzul. After Wahidi, one of the best works on this area is who? Is the work by the renowned scholar Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti. Yes? Lubab al-Nuqul fi Asbab al-Nuzul. It's a fantastic work. Suyuti, many of his works are objective studies of repute. Be it the Itqan, be it Dur al-Manthur, be it Tariq al-Khulafa, be it Tafsir al-Jalalain. A lot of his works are works of respect. This book, Lubab al-Nuqul fi Asbab al-Nuzul. You look at a surah of the Quran.